This is Truth Matters Church, contending for the faith one verse at a time. Connect with us at truthmatterschurch.org. Today, Pastor Alex continues unpacking Daniel's vision of the four beasts by looking at the mysterious bear with three ribs in its mouth. You may be very surprised to see what the Bible has to tell us about this vision and what it means as we study the end times prophecies. Here is Pastor Alex.
So last week, we did cover the first beast, and it was like a lion in Daniel's vision. And what I realized is we only covered half a verse. So maybe I was just trying to get to the next verse, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a whole half of a verse that we didn't unpack, and boy, that half of a verse, half, was very insightful. And it's actually going to help keep us from error as well. Remember, all of Scripture is God-breathed. Every verse matters, and sometimes a part of a verse is also an important piece of a puzzle. And as we'll see, the latter half of Daniel 7, verse 4, is actually a big puzzle. With respect to prophecy, with respect to when are these four kings going to arise, the latter part of verse 4 in this vision actually is going to lead us towards that. And so we're going to unpack that. So we covered last week the first half when we talked about this first lion king, and that we were like, okay, who's likened to a lion in Scripture? And we came up with ancient Assyria or ancient Babylon. And then we also said, okay, what does wings of an eagle, how come this lion with wings of an eagle signify? And it really has the idea of just swift, you know, like eagles, they're swift, they're quick. But also when an eagle expands its wings, it's also, and it's kind of like a picture of like a takeover as well. It's like, hey, have you ever faced an eagle with his wings all out? It's pretty impressive. But the idea is, this lion with eagle's wings was swift. And also, the wings also had an idea of taking land, kind of covering land in a short period of time. And we also unpacked that the wings, also used in Scripture, was a picture of protection. You know, it was a picture of even Yahweh and the people of Israel, like how he would, like eagle's wings, kind of bring them in. So that's another clue into some attributes of this king. But what we didn't cover, as I mentioned, was the latter half of verse 4. So let's cover that, and then we're going to get into the bear king. So let's relook at Daniel 7, verse 4. It says there, the first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. So let's unpack this. I can tell you right now, this is one of those mental blocks. It was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was given to it? What is this all about? So let's unpack this. So it, in the latter part of verse 4, is referring to the lion. Lifted, oh here, just know, I'm going to go between Aramaic and Hebrew. I'm not expecting you to catch and remember everything, but just know what I did was I went to the original Aramaic, and then when needed, I would look at the corresponding Hebrew word and took them both into consideration as we're continuing to unpack this. So I'm going to give you a lot of Aramaic and Hebrew definitions, but that's how we're going to unpack this, because this was originally written in Aramaic, so we need to understand it in its original language so that we have a chance to understand what it's communicating to us. So try to stay with me. So lifted is natal. In Aramaic, natal means raised. It was raised. And natal with an E corresponds to natal with an A in Hebrew. And here's this interesting thing. It means raised, but it's also, has an idea of offering up. And I'll use an example of this. And this is in 2 Samuel 24. And here God is going to discipline David for taking a census. And we're all familiar with that account. Here God is going to discipline David for taking a census and essentially not trusting in God from giving him rest from all his enemies. He wanted to get a census taken to see how big his army is. And for that, God was disciplining him. That's the context here. But here's where Natal was used to give us an idea of, you know, this lion being lifted up for Natal. Go, God was speaking to Gad the prophet at the time, and speak to David. Thus says the Lord, thus the Lord says, I'm presenting to you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do for you. And that's kind of a, have you ever done that as a parent? Hey, I want to discipline you here. You have three choices. Pick one. Right? That's what God did here. So that's a pattern for parenting, I guess. But just know that the Aramaic Natal and the corresponding Hebrew Natal has this also idea of, you know, being raised up, but kind of being offered up. Just kind of follow me with that. Now let's continue to unpack the latter part of verse 4. It says, made to stand. Now, made to stand is qum in Aramaic, and it means to arise, to set up, or to establish. And the corresponding word in the Hebrew is the same. It's qum, but it also means to continue to decree, but it also has an idea to lift up again. And it goes on to say, this lion was lifted, offered up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. So 2 feet like a man in Aramaic is the regal enosh. And in Aramaic, it figuratively describes the feet of a giant statue that is stood up like a man. So a good example would be, has any of us ever seen the Statue of Liberty? Or any statue where there's feet? So the feet of the statue, if you were to say, how do you say, you know, the feet of the statue that's stood and raised up, you would say the regal enosh. That the 2 feet like a man is saying, you know, you're like a man because you're standing like a man, but it's really, the picture here is a statue being stood up like a man. So it's like, interesting. Let's keep unpacking. There's more here. It says a human mind. This is the one that stumped me. It's the Enosh Labab. You know what it means in the Aramaic? A human mind. A mind of a man. Check that out. Wait, it was given the mind of a man? Strange. Odd. And given is Yehab in Aramaic, and it means to give or pay. And Yehab corresponds to Yehab with an A in Hebrew, and it means to ascribe or provide. Now here, now that we did that, let's pull this together. And hopefully, Daniel 7, verse 4, I'm going to now put that all together, and we're going to reread it, and let's see if it's even more clear. So here it is. Here's the Katroha Amplified. The first king was like a lion, and we know that's from ancient Assyria or ancient Babylon, and had the wings of an eagle, again, overtook swiftly, quickly, and offered a form of protection. I kept looking until its wings were plucked. It was pulled out. And it, the lion, was lifted, raised, offered up from the ground, and the lion was made, it arose, it set up, it was established by decree to stand on 2 feet like a statue of a man. A human mind of a man was also given to it, the lion statue. So I do recognize this is bizarre, but you know what came to my mind? Chronicles of Narnia. How many of us have watched Chronicles of Narnia? If you haven't, I do recommend it. It's a C.S. Lewis movie. People say, oh, Matrix is like, has some Christian connotations, whatever. Watch Chronicles of Narnia. And there is this guy, Aslan, right? And he, in this Chronicles of Narnia, he was a talking lion. He was literally a lion that talked. So when I'm going through, breaking down this verse, and this lion was made to stand like a man, and a human mind was given to it, I think of Aslan. I mean, that's me. But what I also want to say is, okay, that's a little bizarre. Now what I want to do is I want to take something else that's bizarre, and it's surrounding the passage about the mark of the beast. So let's look at that on John's vision concerning the mark of the beast. And this is in Revelation 13. And where we are in this timeline of John's vision, it's after the seventh trumpet. So it's seventh trumpet. So we're pretty far along in the book of Revelation. Well, we'll pick it up in verse 11. John sees there in his vision, "Then I saw another beast coming up from out of the earth. And he," and this is speaking of the beast of the earth, "had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life." And here's where I'm getting at. Verse 15, "And it was given to him," the beast of the earth, "to give breath to the image of the beast of the sea, so that the image of the beast of the sea would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed." We're going to unpack this when we get to this portion of our study in Revelation, maybe, hopefully in 2022. Chapter 13 is pretty far. We'll unpack this. But what I want us to get from here is this bizarre vision that John had. It is in verse 15 again. Let me read it. "And it was given to him," speaking to the beasts of the earth, "to give breath to the image of the beast of the sea, so that the image of the beast of the sea would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed." So here, let's kind of put this side by side. In Daniel 7:4, the latter part, the lion in Daniel's four beast vision was given the mind of a man. Then when we get to Revelation 13, the beast from the earth gave breath. Now breath, if you were to look at that Greek word, it's pneuma or spirit. You know, like right now we have a spirit, you have a pneuma. You know, the Holy Spirit is the holy pneuma. Well, this image was given a pneuma, a spirit, to the image. An image is icon. How many of us have heard icon? You know, like, you know when you make an icon? That's what it's, the Greek is icon, spelled E-I-K-O-N. But we get our English word icon, like an icon. And an icon is also a statue. So that it, the statue, would speak. No, wait, hold on, wait. A statue speaking? This is bizarre. So there is a statue in Daniel's vision that was given the mind of the man. There is a statue in John's vision in Revelation 13 that was given a spirit, a lifelike human mind that would even speak. So here's where I'm getting at with all this. You kind of put this together. It's as if there's this artificial lifelike intelligence and some sort of demonic activity that are in play in both of these prophecies. And you know what? If you think about it, think about AI, artificial intelligence. Just think about it for a moment. Right now, we're at a point in technology where planes fly itself. I have a Tesla. It drives itself. And other cars are doing it. There's this artificial intelligence. And also, you know what? Siri. Hey, Siri. Oh, she might answer. Hey, Alexa. Yes? We get glimpses of this artificial intelligence communicating with you. But here, there's actually something that tops the Siris and the Alexas. I want you to meet Sophia. Have any of us met Sophia before? No, this is crazy. But listen, she's the first humanoid with citizenship. So in 2017, Sophia made history by becoming the first android to be granted legal citizenship. The humanoid with nationality of who? Saudi Arabia. Interesting. has made several controversial statements, but the most recent has left the world speechless. This humanoid, Sophia, she said she wants a robot baby, and she wants to start a family. I'm not making this stuff up. So, I say this to say this. In Daniel's vision and in John's vision, there is this statue-like that was made to stand like a man. And a human mind was given to it. Here is a humanoid. You think it's not out of the realm of possibility that, okay, not necessarily, maybe the material of a statue might... This, what I'm trying to say is, the vision of Daniel and the vision of John seem bizarre, but in reality, when you're looking at where we are, where technology is, and the advancement of technology, it's not so bizarre anymore. In both visions, this statue-like figure that was given the mind of a man and was even like a spirit and also made to speak. It's not so far-fetched. We're starting to see some examples of it now. So I mentioned I amplified Saudi Arabia. When we go back to our original stat, or our first study of the great statue vision that Daniel had, and where we found ourselves when we were saying, okay, this great statue that Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream, that Daniel was given the interpretation, and when we unpack that, you know, one of the, you know, the most taught incorrect interpretation is that when you get from the head to the toes, you know, so the head and then the chest and arms and then the belly and thighs and then the legs and then you get to the toes, that a lot of people teach that, oh, the toes is what's the last world power or kingdom. No, it's those kings. It's all of the kings and nations represented in the statue. And what we said was, one of the wild card was, because at least based on the resources I have, but it's possible, say Saudi Arabia was a wild card, depending on, you know, when we're talking about ancient Babylon and ancient Assyria, where, you know, if they covered and ruled over what we know as Saudi Arabia today, then they would definitely be in play. But just know that this humanoid in Saudi Arabia, it just makes me go, So here's why I said all that. You know that, remember I said that last half of verse 4 turned out to be a big puzzle or a big clue in that it would place the lion and the rest of the four beasts, not in the past, but in the future, where there was an advanced civilization, including the advancement in technology. So anyone who argues that the lion or any of the four beasts were historical kings, we're going to look at some of those examples. They're going to be like, no, the lion with the wings, it's back in the past. Okay, well, in this prophecy, it says a human mind was given to it. Explain that to me. You can't. You can't. We mean a human mind was given to it. Okay, so if it was a king or a kingdom in the past, how was a human mind given to a king or a kingdom in the past? No, you're going to have to, well, that's what I believe because that's what I taught or I'm comfortable with. No, you got to take all of Scripture. And if you can't harmonize this human mind being added to it, then don't force it, which unfortunately not everyone does. And here's the thing, as we progress in our studies, we're going to find that the four beasts in Daniel's vision, it naturally and progressively places the four kings in the latter times. Historical kings are just glimpses. When we get, I'm going to give you a little clue, I'm not going to spoil it. When we get to 10, Revelation 10, don't ask me when that's going to be. Revelation 13, it's going to be supported further. Here's a little clue. When you go to Revelation 10 and you go to Revelation 13, a lion is mentioned, a bear is mentioned, a leopard are all mentioned. The same beasts that are in Daniel's vision that we're studying right now. And those are definitely towards the end times. Pretty interesting. So let's go now back to our study of the text. Let's look at our passage one more time in Daniel 7, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 to get the setting fresh in our minds. So in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. And behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth. And they said to it, arise, devour much meat. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horn, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled up by the roots before it, and behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth uttering great boasts. Now that we've pretty much wrapped up the first beast in Daniel's vision, the lion with eagle wings, and where we, when we allowed scripture to interpret itself, and even including the geographic locations, just know this, whatever you're being taught here, whatever is coming from here, I'm basing it on what the scripture tells us and the clues that the scripture gives us. I'm defending it from scripture. If someone were to come at me and says, no, Alex, here's this scripture that would, you know, that would modify what I'm saying. If it's from scripture, I'm going to listen. But if you're going to be like, no, Alex, but it makes more sense because it makes more sense in my mind, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to argue from the text. And where we found ourselves, we're like, okay, well, the scripture called the lion, like specifically ancient Assyria and ancient Babylon. That's who the scripture called lion. So when we see, when Daniel sees a lion, that's where I'm going. And you, this is where we found where the geographic location, where Daniel sees the first of four kings arise from the Mediterranean Sea. Remember that, the Mediterranean Sea? Because we went to the Aramaic, and we had four angels who were stirring up the great Mediterranean Sea. And where that landed us, as far as where this lion with eagle's wings, where this king that Daniel sees in this vision, and if we were to keep in lockstep with Scripture, then that leaves Turkey, present day, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and Egypt. They are who are in play as far as who Daniel sees where one of these kings will come from. It's from the Middle East, north Turkey, all the way south to Egypt. Now we're going to see, okay, well, where is this second beast going to come from? So let's look at verse 5. And behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth, between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. So we're going to say, okay, who is this second Mediterranean king, who I'll call the Bear King and the title of our study? We're going to look at some common misinterpretations, and then we're going to look to Scripture. Right. I said that from the very beginning. Get used to this. So in our last study, you know, this picture here, I would suggest to you, this is probably 90% of the teaching out there that's saying, oh, okay, so the four beasts in Daniel's vision that we're studying in chapter 7, it corresponds to the four kingdoms in the great statue. So they'll say, okay, so there was four kingdoms in the statue. There was Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Oh, and there happens to be four beasts. So that is the eagle with lion's wings. Must be Babylon. Then the bear with the three ribs in its mouth. That must be Medo-Persia. The leopard with, was that, how many heads is that? Four? Four heads with the four wings of a bird. That's Greece. And then Rome would be the beast with iron teeth. So pretty much maybe the deduction is, okay, well, there was four kingdoms here. There's four beasts. It must be talking about the same thing. And that's, sadly, that's what is the common school of thought. In fact, probably more than not only in an evangelical circle, I would say even just in any type of theology, I would say this is probably 90% held. But we can already eliminate and say that this is wrong because, as we know, in the great statue vision, when Daniel was given the interpretation as far as the head of gold, he says to King Nebuchadnezzar, "You are the head of gold." And what we can learn from history is that, and this is approximate dates, that the Babylonian Empire and the first deportation of Daniel, let's say it's around 606 BC to about 538 BC. However, the eagle, the lion with eagle's wings, as we learn from Daniel 7:2, it'll arise in the future after the Babylonian Empire. So that can't, this picture can't be true just from the very top, the very first king or kingdom. It doesn't match. So don't make it match and don't say that it is. So this is one common one. Now this next one, hey, I was impressed with this chart and you'll see what I mean. I was like, wow. Man, look at this bad boy. So anyone put like thought into this? I mean, it must be right. I'll say though, this is closer than the other one. Why? It said the lion with eagle's wings is corresponding to the chest and arms of silver. So actually, he said, the lion, he actually stayed true to Daniel 7:2 that the lion with eagle's wings, it can't be Babylon because it must happen after Babylon. At least they moved it down one. Pretty much. So they're saying, okay, then that must mean that the lion with the wings of an eagle, that must be Medo-Persia then. And that corresponds to Daniel's second vision of the ram, which is in Persia, according to this chart. And then so the bear must be then Greece. And the leopard must be Rome. Oh, and then the feet of iron and feet of clay, that must be the modern age where the West's British Empire and East Ottoman's Empire and finally the mystery Babylon appears in the last days. And I'm like, here's what I'm like. I want to talk to the dude or dudes who did this. Okay, I was like, okay. So I'll start with Daniel. Okay, well, no, let's go back to Daniel 7:4. It says a human mind was given to the lion with eagle's wings. How does that fit in your diagram here? No, explain it to me without explaining away scripture. It completely goes away. But this is out there. You know, these are just some examples of what's being taught. And when we're unpacking and just walking through the scripture, like, no, that doesn't add up. You're still not accounting for the entire verse in Daniel 7:4, for example, for the lion with eagle's wings. So I just wanted to share this. This is another thing that's out there. But I was impressed with this chart. I'm like, man, you got some talent here to help organize it. Now let's just, but make sure it's right. And right here, I can, through scripture, say, no, that's not it. It doesn't hold. So here's why I say that. If we don't use scripture to keep us grounded, you know what really it is? It's anyone's guess. It's a free-for-all. As to who the bear is or any of the beasts in Daniel's visions is pointing to. So here are some, it's a free-for-all, right? Here are some examples then. All right, okay. Well, there's that first chart that says, well, the lion with eagle's wings is Babylon. The other chart says, no, the lion with eagle's wings is Medo-Persia. Oh, you know what? The state of California, we have a bear in our flag. What if it's Newsom? Oh, communist China? They have Kung Fu Panda. He's a bear, right? How about Winnie the Pooh? He's a bear. But do you see how silly this is? Do you think I'm saying that to say, do you think God wants us to take your best guess? Or do you say, okay, you know what? Maybe you're gonna have to study a little harder. Maybe pray a little harder. Maybe humble yourself a little more. Maybe you're gonna have to want it more. You know what, Daniel? You know what he did? He would mourn for 3 weeks without food for him and his situation and his people Israel. He humbled himself and he asked God for, hey, help me understand the vision. And we know God came through for Daniel and his three friends when he was given Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He revealed it to him and the interpretation. He did an impossible thing. He actually told, hey, I know what you dreamed, and I'm going to tell you what it means. And it's not because I'm special or there's any wisdom in me, but because the God of heaven has made known to the king of what will take place after you. But let's not do this. Let's say, okay, you know, I'm going to admit this. Sometimes Scripture gives us a lot. Sometimes Scripture gives us a lot to work with. Those are the easy ones. I love those. Sometimes it doesn't give you much. But the one thing that I think we can glean from that'll help identify where this second bear king will come from, we're going to have to look to Scripture to at least give us a clue. So with that, let's look at Scripture about who is a candidate for this bear with three ribs in its mouth. Here's one, and you're probably familiar with this story, but when Absalom, David's son, stole the kingdom from his dad, his father David, and David was on the run for his life. So Absalom, at this point, is in power, and David is in hiding from Absalom. So Absalom is getting counsel from Hushai. And here's what it records for us in 2 Samuel 17, verse 8. Moreover, Hushai said, you know, your father, David, he's talking to Absalom, and his men, that they are mighty men and they are fierce, like a bear. Interesting. Robbed of her cubs in the field, and your father is an expert in warfare and will not spend the night with the people. So in this verse, we have like a bear equating to mighty men and warriors. David and his men are likened to a bear, and he is also likened, David, as being an expert in warfare. David was born in the city of David. Where is that? Bethlehem. If you're taking notes, city of David is Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in Judah, and Judah is south of Jerusalem. Let me tell you how I got to this point. Just how I practice the same disciplines in terms of unpacking the Scripture. The lion was very explicit and called ancient Assyria and ancient Babylon the lion. I looked at every single reference of bear, and this is all I had to work with. Because I'm going to Scripture for my guide. And if Scripture is giving me limited to work with, then that's I'm going to work with what is given. And where the Scripture took me was to look at David and his men who were called like a bear. So I'm like, okay, so Bethlehem is in Judah, south of Jerusalem. So this is a clue of the second bear king as far as its geographic location. So here's a diagram of the Israel at the time of Jesus. So not too far back compared to Daniel. And Israel at the time of Jesus, so there you see in the diagram, Bethlehem is south of Jerusalem. That's where the city of David is. That's where David was born. And that's where Jesus was born. This second bear king, and if we were to look at, because that's what David was called, then that would give us the clue that this second bear king in Daniel's vision must come from southern Israel or Judea. Judah. So now what I want to do is let's now unpack, just like we did in verse 4, we're going to unpack verse 5 of this vision concerning the bear. What does this bear was raised up on one side? What does that mean? What does Scripture tell us about ribs and devour? And okay, I'm going to open it up. I want to get some brownie points from you guys. I'm going to ask you, who are the they who said, thus they said to it? I want to see who's, I'm going to open it up, and I want to get some brownie points for that. I want you to tell me who the they are, okay? So now let's unpack this verse. This bear was raised up on one side, and raised up, and we've covered this when we covered verse 4, is the Aramaic quum, and it means to arise, set up, or establish. And it's the same word in Hebrew, quum, and it also means to continue to decree and to be lifted up again. So this bear is raised up or made to stand, quum. Just know this, there was a similarity. The lion was made to stand up, and the bear was made to stand up. Now let's look at when it says raised up on one side. One is chad in Aramaic, and it means first, single, or at the same time. And chad corresponds to the Hebrew had, which is the subject, which the subject is singled out from one another. So when you say the raised up on one side, one is singling out that from the others. One. You know, you're being singled out. One, first, at the same time, but also distinct from something else. You're singled out. That's kind of the idea. Side is sitar in Aramaic, and it means side. And just know, it's distinct from the front, and it's not the back, it's the side. So this bear was raised up on one side. It was singled out and raised up on one side. So this bear was on its side, but the time came when it was made to stand. That's what we have to work with so far in this vision. Now let's keep going. How about this three ribs? So rib in Aramaic is Allah, not Allah from the other religion. It corresponds to Selah in Hebrew, and that means rib or side. So do you know that the rib in Aramaic, Allah, if you're saying what's the equivalent of the Hebrew, it's Selah. And you know what Selah is? It's the Hebrew root word to describe where God created Eve from Adam's selah, from Adam's rib. So the bear in Daniel's vision has three ribs, three Allah in Aramaic, or three selah in Hebrew, in its mouth. Let's keep going. This bear was given the command to arise, devour much meat. Arise is an indication that the bear was on its side. And it's kind of like a picture of it hibernating. You know, bears hibernate. They can go, I don't know how long they hibernate. I know it's for months, probably. But the idea says arise means that it was on one side. And then the time came to arise, devour much meat. Devour is the Aramaic verb akal, and it's often used to describe a beast feasting on its prey. So just imagine, you know, like a wolf, and let's just say there's a bunch of sheep in, you know, trapped in an area, and the wolf is in there, and it's all fair game. They can't go anywhere. That's the idea of devouring akal. It means to eat and consume freely. So here are some examples of akal in the Old Testament, because akal, this devouring, it's also associated with something. So let's look at one example of akal. So akal is also associated with devouring nations. Devouring nations. Numbers 24, verses 8 and 9. This is as part of Balaam's oracles. Verse 8, God brings him, he's speaking about Israel, out of Egypt. He, and this is speaking of Messiah, is for him, Israel, like the horns of a wild ox. He, Messiah, will devour, akal, the nations who are his, Messiah's, adversaries, and will crush their bones in pieces and shatter them with his arrows. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who dares rouse him? Blessed is everyone who blesses you, Israel, and cursed is everyone who curses you, Israel. So here, akal, which was the Hebrew equivalent, it's also the same, you know, the same word in the Aramaic, it's associated with devouring nations. So we got that. Okay, let's look at what else akal, devouring, what is that associated with? This was an interesting one. Akal is also associated with a deceitful tongue. A deceitful tongue? How could devouring and a deceitful tongue even come together. But in Psalm 52, 4, that's one example. You love all the words that devour akal, O deceitful tongue. So akal, this devour, has the idea of devouring nations with a deceitful tongue. So akal in Numbers 24 is devouring nations who are adversaries, and akal in Psalm 52 is associated with a deceitful tongue. So here's where we can start making some deductions now. The fact that three ribs and devour akal is in the bear's mouth, they are associated with one another. We can deduce that the second king in Daniel's vision is the bear king with three ribs in its mouth. That bear king is a deceitful king who's masterful in war, who were side by side with three neighboring nations. However, the bear king was given a decree from heaven to overtake those three nations along with its kings and prey on them. That's what we have to work with in that. Now, is there any other Old Testament passages that can tell us more about this second bear? And we've actually covered this in our study of the lion with eagle wings. Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear is a wicked ruler over a poor people. And in context, as I mentioned before, the Rabyam, the great sea, that Daniel sees the great sea being stirred up, it literally means the great sea is the roaring sea was being aroused or awakened, and the rushing bear is a wicked ruler what we can learn from Proverbs 28:15. So we can deduce that the second beast, the bear king, he's going to be a wicked king, just like the first beast was a wicked king. So the first two kings in Daniel's visions, they definitely have that in common. But put your thinking caps on. We've walked through up to this point. Hopefully we'll get it. Here, Daniel 7:5. And behold, another beast, the second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and thus they, who's they, said to it, arise, devour much meat. Who are they? Nations? Kings? Who gave the command to arise, devour, and eat? The angel. An angel. Okay, correct answer. Because in this vision, that's who Daniel saw. And I don't know if you remember, we covered the winds. I kind of gave away the answer, but how many angels are there?
Four.
So when it says, and thus they, you can put in, and thus the four angels said, arise, devour much meat. See, you don't get that by just reading it, but when we unpack it in its original and stay and lock in step with what is revealed, it's pretty clear. The angels are giving the command and the decree, okay, you know, lion, do your thing. All right, bear, do your thing. All right, leopard, do your thing. All right, iron teeth, do your thing. It's from heaven. God is working, and he works through evil kings as well. It's pretty, pretty remarkable. So, which present-day countries are in play where the second beast, the second wicked king, whom he and his men who are valiant warriors will arise from Daniel's four beast vision, the city of David, Bethlehem, and devour three nations through deceit? Brings us, interesting, one, right here. I have no one else. I can't find anyone from the scripture that says, who else can be this bear? Judah, southern Israel, is where this evil king will arise from with that. So let's add the second king's geographical location using scripture. And remember the lion with eagle wings? These are nations in play of where this lion with eagle wings will come from. Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt. He's going to be wicked. Is that going to be a shock to you if someone from Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Egypt were to arise to power and be a wicked king? No, it fits with what's going on in our world today. Well, now let's add the bear. Israel. Whoever is going to be this bear is going to be a king of Israel. Is going to be the ruler of Israel. No one else. And this king will devour three kings or nations.
Thank you so much for listening today to the Truth Matters Church podcast. Please join us next week as we continue our look at the four beasts in Daniel's vision, specifically the leopard with four wings and four heads. And if you've missed any of our past studies in this series, you can find those on our website at truthmatterschurch.org. That's truthmatterschurch.org. Or just subscribe to this podcast to access the full list of our teachings. And if you're in Northern California, we would love to invite you to join us in person for this study every Friday night. Details are on our website at truthmatterschurch.org. Contending for the faith, one verse at a time. This is Truth Matters Church.